Good morning. Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona listeners. It's so great to be here on this President's Day. Happy Monday morning to everybody here, including I'm so excited to have as my co-host and special guest, Ms. Carolyn Gorst. Carolyn, welcome to The Morning Voice.
Thanks, Lydia. Glad to be here.
Wonderful. And Matt Neely and crew, everybody is just doing great on this brisk but wonderful morning. And we are very excited to be here on The Morning Voice. This is your Monday show called Rainmakers. And Morning Rainmakers is all about, as Matt said, where that fun little sweet spot comes together of education, workforce, community, business, and the kind of successes that are born out of those voices of influence, those folks who care and get involved, and the action of coming together collaboratively. So, once again, we're here on The Morning Voice. And today, on President's Day, we are going to talk a little bit about the impact to growing great communities through volunteerism. Carolyn, let's talk for a minute, first of all, for listeners who may have heard you on this show in the past, where we've talked about your wonderful role that you play as Director of Community Engagement for Compass Housing, Compass Affordable Housing, excuse me, and the way that that trickles into so many facets of community. Tell us a little bit about your role at Compass.
Thanks, Lydia. Again, glad to be here this morning. A little brisk outside. With Compass Affordable Housing, we are working with people with very low incomes or moving out of homelessness to get them into supportive permanent housing. And our volunteers become a key part of that. When we have people that are stabilized and able to become part of the economic fabric of our community,
sure,
of course, we all thrive. So that interwoven part of people helping people becomes a cornerstone of the work we're doing.
That's fantastic. And you bring a wealth of experience and a broad network of contacts to your role. You've been at Compass for a while now, but you also have a very big background in not only giving and helping establish, working through other nonprofits that help establish other leaders of youth going into their adulthood, but also adults who are teaching, mentoring, and working with other facets of social needs and the community impact. Junior achievement, you come out of education, you've done so many great things like that. Tell us maybe just a little bit about that background too.
Well, I have had the opportunity to work with both Junior Achievement of Arizona in our Southern District, as well as Fellowship Square Tucson and the Christian Care Communities. In both roles, the volunteer piece was core to what we were doing, and something that was exciting that we are going to talk about today, intergenerational volunteerism.
You bet.
That was a big part of the work we were doing. As the Southern District Office with Junior Achievement of Arizona, we were working to make sure that our youth here in Southern Arizona had the tools and skills they needed to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And with our properties at Fellowship Square Tucson, the volunteer programs were how we ensured that seniors had quality care and quality lifestyles. So in both of those roles, it comes down to the people.
Yes.
And how we help each other, and our volunteers become the secret sauce to all of that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And you are a native Tucsonan, am I correct?
You are correct.
Wonderful.
Right here.
We here at The Morning Voice have such a collective of different folks who are hosting. And in fact, Carolyn, I'm so excited to have you as my first co-host on this new show. And as you're aware, Many of us on this show hail from a previous show here on KVOI called Jump in Tucson that ran for about 13 months. And then we had this great opportunity to expand a bit. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about where we're headed with the Morning Voice. Mondays are going to be, again, this collective of where community, business, and education kind of all fit together, and what that impact is, not only to the greater Tucson area, but Southern Arizona, our state as a whole. And I dare say, you know, the impact we have on our nation. On Tuesdays, we have Ted Maxwell, who's going to continue his wonderful show about engagement, particularly civic engagement, the leaders, the issues, the value of all of that. Wednesdays, Grant Kruger continues to be a host with Food for Thought, and speaking about many issues related to restauranting food, the impact, the small business aspect about restaurants. And then, of course, Tom Moulton on Thursdays is talking all things tourism, and he has this wonderful knack of also bringing in the history and other speakers who can talk about the buildup of where all that has come, our points of interest and such. And I dare say you'll have a little bit to maybe chat about with that, with growing up here in Tucson. And then, of course, we wrap it up on Fridays with Dr. Ed Ackerley with his business success, as well as Wonder, speaking about those great things that you may or may not have heard of or that are going on at our wonderful U of A. So the Morning Voice is a great place where we are going to continue to bring many voices together, lots of ideas, touch on different thoughts, and then again talk about collaboration and that impact. We are here this morning for President's Day, and we know that some folks are just maybe sleeping in a little late this morning, maybe enjoying a day off. Others are straight at work, and they may, especially on a three-day holiday weekend, have been at events, maybe giving of their time, their talents, or their treasure for things about on a weekend such as President's Day holiday weekend. You know, we reflect on leadership. We reflect on visioning. We think about strategies and goals that maybe are happening not only in our country or in our local communities, but what's happening in business. And the fact is that all businesses, great or small, I dare say rely on some volunteering as well, maybe through a board of directors, maybe through an advisory council, but also as employees, going out and volunteering into the community are often a big part of a company's success. What are some of the things that you've participated in when, I mean, I know some of them, so I might just throw you an idea there. You and I actually sit on an advisory council together for an organization that focuses on digital literacy, and particularly expanding that between youth students, like high school students, but also young adults in college, and the way that they might be great mentors to more seasoned adults, let's say, those longer in tooth, our seniors and folks who may need a little help understanding the latest and greatest in digital. What are some of your thoughts about what you've seen happen in those organizations that we work on together?
I love that question. One of the things that I've seen happen with the intergenerational volunteerism is there's a openness and willingness to share information, and the learning that happens is very different than traditional peer-to-peer learning. Mm-hmm. You see the younger generation bringing an excitement to share their knowledge with someone who's, as you said, more seasoned, a little older, and you see the older learner engaging with the younger person in a different way than they would with a peer, because the traditional structure of teacher-student is taken away. It's more peer-to-peer mentoring, but the intergenerational piece means that the younger person is learning life lessons.
Yes.
From the person they're working with that might be a little older with different experiences or lived experiences that they may not even have thought about.
I love that. I love seeing that in action, and we see it in so many different ways that maybe we don't think formally, perhaps, as being that Some call it reverse mentoring, but it really is an opportunity for mutual learning, mutual growth, lots of aha moments that maybe one wouldn't have thought of. It helps with communication skills. It helps with perspective and folks just really understanding perhaps a different mindset simply with the opportunity to converse and Absolutely. To be in a setting together where each person can contribute a little bit to the teaching and a little bit to the learning. And that's merely one part of volunteering that we see. So I know we're getting a little bit close to a break right now. What I'd love to do is tee up that we're going to talk a little bit more about volunteerism. And one of the things that I think we'll talk about in our next segment is this interesting trend, more and more of volunteer vacations that we're seeing crop up. So with that, again, listeners, so glad to have you here on a Monday morning, a President's Day Monday morning at that. And we're going to be back in just a little bit with The Morning Voice. Good morning, Tucson. This is Lydia Arando with The Morning Voice here on KVOI. And we are here on President's Day morning. I've got Carolyn Gorse in the studio with me. Hello, Carolyn.
Good morning, Lydia.
And today we are talking, among other things, we're talking about volunteerism. We're talking about the impact that volunteering has on people, on individuals, on organizations, and on community. You know, research has shown that volunteering is associated with improved health and well-being, and sometimes we don't think about that when we think about volunteering. It seems like often the discussions are about where's our group, what is the event, what is the task at hand. And I love the fact that we can step back for a second and really shine some light on all the other facets and benefits of volunteering besides the action or tactical. Wouldn't you agree?
I so agree with that, Lydia.
I think that there is so much that we see when people are able to connect on an issue beyond speaking about it, beyond just talking to each other, hopefully listening with each other. But I think besides that communication part, when there's action, when there's a task at hand and people kind of dig in to do something, there's seems to be an air of value shared. And I'm wondering, at Compass and some of the wonderful programs that you have there at your different facilities, one thing in particular is a food market, a healthy home market that comes to your different communities, different facilities for your tenants, but also a gardening opportunity. I wonder if you might talk a little bit about what that gardening is and then how you organize the volunteers around that, the tenants as well as community members.
Absolutely. Well, you touched on the two big areas that we use volunteers in. And your healthy home market is the fresh produce. The community garden projects really have been the example of bringing people together to do good for people and build community all at the same time.
Sure.
And with our community garden project, our tenants at the properties volunteer with outside guests who come and share their time. And you don't have to be an expert in gardening. You just have to like to get your hands dirty.
Kind of like playing with clay or mud
exactly.
or all of those things.
Exactly. And the chance to do something that, you know, the end result is going to then give back to the community. You're literally planting the seeds that are going to grow into produce that is going to feed people that are living on very low fixed incomes or those that might be living with disabilities or those that are recovering from homelessness. And you know, what a feeling to know that a few hours of work is going to have such, pardon the pun, bountiful returns. It really, and then we see a lot of the intergenerational volunteerism in that, those areas, because you don't have to be a certain age to help plant a garden.
That's true. That's very true. Well, and you're at Compass Affordable Housing, different facilities are open or maybe target particular age groups. Mm-hmm. I know the Downtown Motors is a wonderful one of your gems. They're all wonderful and all have such value and shine. But the Downtown Motors is a particularly shiny example of the kind of good work that Compass does. And in there, if I'm understanding correctly and remembering correctly, that one is open to all kind of folks, but particularly caters to veterans who tend to be middle-aged or maybe seniors. Is
absolutely
that correct?
Absolutely. Our three properties with Alvord Court Apartments, Downtown Motor Apartments, and Glenstone Village, they each serve a specific need of people that are recovering out of homelessness as well as living on very low or fixed incomes. Mm-hmm. Downtown Motors is families that are working families, households on lower and fixed incomes, as well as our veterans. So you do tend to see that people are middle to upper years in age. And then our Alvord Court property works with families living with disabilities.
Okay.
And Glenstone Village is for people that are wanting to live in recovery. So taking those pieces of those unique populations into account, coming up with activities and volunteerism to help them engage within their own community, making sure that our tenants are able to share their talents with their neighbors, and then bringing in others to add to that by sharing their time and talents creates a community within a community.
I think that's just such a great opportunity that we see for the tenants to engage with each other, for your staff, your board, your funders, your supporters, and even your partners in community. We talked a little bit about the healthy home
market,
and that is a market that comes to each property, and then folks are able to pick and choose fresh produce, fruits and vegetables, maybe also understand more about that industry, maybe inquire about how they might themselves start to work in that kind of industry if their desire is there, or they just can put another piece to the puzzle on the impact of fresh produce, fresh fruits and vegetables into their own diet. Food as medicine is so important. I think whether someone has a particular dietary or health need, or they are just wanting to explore more opportunities for cooking fresh and maybe
Absolutely.
Having some cooking opportunities or recipe exchanges,
yes.
things of that nature. And a lot of that exchange, if I understand correctly, happens with volunteers coming out and also helping you, the staff at Compass Affordable Housing, to be able to staff those different market days and help pack the bags or carry the bags or maybe help people walk around and choose their fruits or vegetables if they have a little bit of trouble moving around.
The beauty of the Your Healthy Home Market is it's actually organized by the residents and tenants for the residents and tenants.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's not a traveling market, so to speak, as much as the opportunity for us to provide fresh produce, grains, legumes, nutritional information, like you said, the recipe exchange, how-tos on using fresh produce that someone might not otherwise pick up.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite stories is one of the moms, the single moms that lives at one of our communities, shared with me is her family had never tried bok choy before.
Oh, wow.
And one of the markets had bok choy and recipes on how to use bok choy. So she took it home, she tried the stir fry, and now her kids say, "Mom, can you make that stuff again with the green?" And who would have known that a new recipe of stir fry, introducing bok choy into their nutrition and into their menu? It's just little changes like that. And it comes from community supporting community.
Absolutely. And I love that story about bok choy. If someone has never seen it before, or if someone is a little bit intimidated in cooking or understanding what to do, it can be a little intimidating because it is big, you know, leafy. I liken it even closer to a lettuce, if you will. And I think it's wonderful. I love bok choy, but it can be a little bit intimidating for folks. You know, there's an organization that I have volunteered with for many, many years and am proud to serve on their National Advisory Corps. And it is an organization that provides scholarship and also learning and mentoring and career pathing opportunities for rising high school students going into college. It's all about college undergrad and graduate scholarship and career pathing. And in the conferences and in some of the summits, even with parents, not only just talking to the students, but engaging the parents in the process of access to college, financing college, and not being scared of the whole process of financial aid and things like that. There is a common phrase that the CEO loves to give and the whole team, and we have all adopted it over the last 10, 15 years. And the concept is pistachio ice cream is what we call it. And the idea is that we hear about ice cream, all of us, you know, growing up, you might hear about strawberry, chocolate, vanilla, maybe something with some caramel in it. But a lot of times people aren't really sure about pistachio ice cream. It's a different color, green, but it's not quite that bright green of mint ice cream. It's a different green. It has nuts in it. People might say, I don't like it. But they've never tried it. And the idea of the concept of pistachio ice cream is always take a bite. You never know. Now, you might not like it after that, but at least you tried it. But you just might. And so that's what I was thinking of as you told that story about bok choy. It's that there's so many new herbs and grains and foods and ways to mix them together that who would have thought that certain vegetables together with fruits might make a wonderful juice or a smoothie, because separately, you know, you might crinkle your nose and say, oof, but then you taste it and you say, boy, that spinach and beets and carrots all together are tasting pretty good. So with that, I think we're time for our next break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about volunteerism and volunteer vacations.
Your host, Lydia Ronda and Carolyn Gorst.
Good morning, everyone. We are here today on President's Day of 2025. A nice Monday morning, a little bit brisk, but it sounds like it's going to be a wonderful, warm Southern Arizona day. And we are on the Morning Voice with Monday's Rainmaker Show, making it rain for Southern Arizona communities, for nonprofit collaborators, and all the fun ideas and initiatives that make our community thrive. Here with me today is Carolyn Gorst. Hi, Carolyn.
Good morning, Lydia.
We are here talking today about many different things in community, including the impact of volunteering, the value of volunteering. We're going to be chatting a little bit about what makes folks want to volunteer in different ways, what brings them together, how it benefits themselves and the community, and the different trends we're seeing, one of which is volunteer vacations. Probably not a very new concept, but I think it's being tackled in a lot of new ways. We're seeing articles come out here and there that talk about the value of volunteering, how you can build volunteer actions into your vacation, and some particularly inexpensive, which is always nice, inexpensive volunteer vacations abroad for 2025 and 2026 that are being planned now. It seems like a volunteer vacation, Carolyn, when I've been reading about some of this, and you may have heard of it too, is being themed as a rewarding way to build your purpose and build purpose into your travel, enabling you to be of service to a community abroad while also gaining an immersive cultural experience. And that sounds like a pretty neat thing. Often that's the whole driver. People are traveling to go elsewhere to learn more about a different culture, a different place, a different perspective, and wanting to maybe dip a toe in with a quick little jaunt or actually stay a little bit longer. But I've been reading about how if you build volunteerism into your vacation, there are many ways to do it for different groups or in different ages as well. Have you heard much about this?
It has. It's an idea, like you said, that's not new, but it is becoming much more common. And I think a lot of that has to do, again, where we started today with the intergenerational volunteerism.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a lot of our younger people wanting to make meaningful impact in their community, both locally and abroad. And the idea of marrying your vacation time with a volunteer experience is becoming more appealing, I think, in a way that they feel they can make a direct impact in the world around them,
mm-hmm.
and still get away for a little bit of time.
Sure, making it a kind of all-encompassing. Some of the things that I'm learning about with a group called International Volunteer HQ is they are focusing on particularly offering 1 week or multiple week selections from over 50 destinations that they feel seem to not only have the need but be attractive to those travelers who are interested in this. And some of those include Bali, which would be beautiful and also giving back, Costa Rica, Peru, Nepal, Vietnam, India, Portugal, Tanzania, and Mexico. And this group's, again, International Volunteer HQ, has a range of affordable volunteering vacations, and they break them up into different packages and different attentions for those who may be singles or solo travelers who want to travel with a purpose and meet other like-minded travelers, but also couples, and particularly couples who maybe are wanting to have some value add to their honeymoon, which I thought was kind of interesting. And also families. They have opportunities for families, including families who really want to bring their children, as we were just talking about, you know, bringing children into the mix of issues, of growth, of understanding what it is to give, even in perhaps some of the younger children. And those are very specific needs. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're specific vacations. So that kind of caught my eye and thought that's a really interesting way to take an active vacation together as a family. And of course, seniors. Seniors who often have the time and the means to travel, but maybe are also looking to volunteer abroad, either after or just pre-retirement, or just an alternative view on vacation, probably still enjoying the cruises, still enjoying some of those packaged vacations, but really giving back. And some of these kind of packages in these different areas can be as affordable as $25 a day when you break it down. So I thought that was really interesting. And if there are people who want to learn more about this, again, the organization is called International Volunteer HQ. And I'm looking at some of the little, there are flexible booking policies, so people can look at that, and they can even start planning for later in 2025, still now, it's not too late, as well as into next year, 2026, of these volunteer vacations abroad. What that made me start thinking about also is, again, the wonderful attraction that we have here in Southern Arizona. We bring people in. We're at the height of our snowbird season, and folks come here from all around, make this their home, make it sometimes a short home away from home, and others are here every year, majority of the year, and really only go bounce away maybe in the summer months. Lots to do here in town as well. We talked a little bit about the opportunities to get engaged with Compass Affordable Housing. You and I have spoken a little bit, just a teeny bit, of the fact that we serve on advisory councils, and that's a way that many people seem to want to volunteer. They Absolutely. Want to give of their time and experience, and often of their treasure as well, to different organizations by serving on their boards of directors or governing councils, which often, especially for nonprofits, are volunteer boards. But there are also ways that people can sign up, whether as an individual or as part of a company, to come together as a group of volunteers for special events. And some of the things we're seeing this time of year happen to be those kind of events that involve students. In other words, going out to volunteer at a school or at an organization that teaches, that is involved in education, and maybe volunteering as a tutor or a near-peer mentor or even a teacher's aide. Knowing your background in education and knowing your the value you also put, I'm the daughter of teachers and professors, and I'm very proud to be. And so I saw a lot of this in my household, but you actually taught yourself in your career. And I'm wondering what the value of having folks volunteer and help you, how did that help in your daily experience?
As a middle school teacher, the value of having volunteers come in, especially when you're working with sharing information about what could their possible futures be, career choices, sharing information about life skills, soft skills building, I would see the greatest impact with the volunteers. It's kind of like having a child go to kindergarten. Mm-hmm. As a parent, I think a lot of our listeners can understand this. You tell your child you need to brush your teeth, you need to wash your hands. They roll their eyes and, oh, mom. And then they go to kindergarten or they go to preschool. And their teacher says, now we've just come in from outside. Let's go wash our hands. And they come running home. Mom, there's this thing called germs. We have to wash our hands. And you kind of forehead palm plant your, yes, you're right. And that's what we see happen at all ages with volunteers in the classroom, is a person will come in from as a career speaker, for example, and they would share with my students the importance of building communication skills and listening to one another and showing respect. And the students would be like, wow, we really understood that we need to learn math and learn communication skills. And it was just another perspective.
Right, of the same thing that you're trying to teach, the things you're trying to do in classroom management. And then, but it's got to be another voice. It's so, someone like a peer.
If I can add one example to this.
Sure.
So the next door, my sister, as a young person, had a very conservative palate. She would just didn't like to try new foods. She liked what she liked.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then she would go to the next door neighbor's house. And they'd serve her something that she never would have eaten at our house when she was a little girl, you know, mm-hmm. you understand. And she would eat it. And so my parents had the running joke about, you know, the family's name. They took the poison out of the food.
Oh,
they
yes.
took the poison out of it. My sister would try stuff with them that she would never try at home.
Absolutely. It is that way. And we see it so much. And I think that's the value of volunteers, of guest speakers, and other folks that can come in saying the exact same thing or the exact same point, but maybe in just a little bit different way.
A different way.
We are here talking about volunteering on a President's Day morning, and we'll be back after this next break. Good morning, everybody. It is Monday morning, and you are listening to The Morning Voice. This is Lydia Aranda, host of the Monday Morning Show, which is Morning Rainmakers. And we are here with co-host in the studio, Ms. Carolyn Gorst, and of course, our wonderful Matt Neely producing. And we just had a wonderful segment, didn't we, Carolyn? We were chatting about, all three of us were chatting about examples of the impact to another voice, another perspective coming in, often as a volunteer, to join a task or join a class or take part in an event. And having those extra people around often has a supportive and underscoring impact to whatever the lesson of the day might be. Carolyn, I love the example that you talked about, even just raising kids, and no matter what you do as a parent, as an older sibling, as an aunt, uncle, or grandparent, or even a babysitter, if you say, brush your teeth, wash your hands, the kids are going to give their, I think, ingrained resistance. So eat your vegetables to some of those things, but as soon as they go off and the teacher might say that it's pretty cool to do that, or their peers might say it's pretty cool to taste that, then all of a sudden doors are opened up. And isn't that wonderful? Whatever it takes, that's the whole concept of it takes a village.
That is so true. And that ties in so well to what the volunteer piece, because that's the strength that a volunteer, that's the power of the volunteer, right? Is they bring in a perspective that reinforces a life lesson or reinforces ideal and brings additional support to.
That's right. You know, the ethos, they say, of volunteerism, if you look it up in a dictionary or people talk about that, is really the values that infuse the action. And values such as reciprocity, collaboration, things like mutual trust, a sense of belonging, certainly a sense of empowerment. And I would underscore that anytime we're able to instill in others their idea that they can do it too, and maybe by us being there to support, encourage, cheerlead. I always say there's a role for cheerleaders everywhere. Sometimes it is the role to clap and cheer on so that others will just keep going. And all of that happens with volunteering. We bring so much of ourselves into volunteering, perhaps even in a more free way, a more confident way sometimes than what we might do in our daily tasks, you know, because it breaks up the mundane. At least that's what I see. And I see that happen even with younger volunteers. I see eyes open up and excitement happen, like you were talking about the community gardens and families participating and even younger folks being able to see the process of a seed growing, and then that represents so much. Tell us what, I know that you were at a job fair, the job fair at the U of A that was recently put on. There are so many of those that happen all year long. But we were talking in the break about what you're seeing spark up in the value of volunteering and what some of our Gen Zers that are in college right now are looking for in their career paths along with the daily job. Tell us more about that.
Absolutely. So I love the fact that this last week we were at the Compass Affordable Housing was at the University of Arizona for one of their job fairs. And we were there for volunteers and interns, and it just really impressed me with the number of young people that were coming over to ask about information on volunteering and volunteering during the summer months when school is out. Mm-hmm. The hope that they had to be able to take their time and their talent and use it as a learning experience so that it could help them on their pathway while they were helping others. It really was inspiring. And to be able to talk to the young people and understand that at 19, 20, and 21 years old, they're already thinking about the impact they can make in their community, as well as how it's going to look on their resume.
Right.
And coming from the world of workforce and career education, it really was quite heartwarming for me to see them thinking through the process of this experience of volunteering with an organization or interning with an organization is going to give me a skill set that is going to help me in the next 2 to 4 years and beyond. And I walked out of there last Friday, just feeling completely uplifted and renewed.
There's hope for the future.
There's
of our
hope
world.
For the future.
Yes. Well, that is wonderful. And I think, you know, I've always been a proponent of internships have a lot of value, and that I believe interns should be paid. They should be paid something. You know, there should be some sort of remuneration for and compensation, but that doesn't always come in a straightforward paycheck. It might be that at the end of an internship, folks get a scholarship or they get a stipend or something like that, or it might be straightforward pay. And there is a difference between volunteerism and internship, in my view. And the fact that folks are excited to volunteer is a stepping stone to get networked and to that they understand relationship building. And when I say they, I should be more specific. The students are wanting to build their network that way, but also the companies or the adults or the mentors or whoever it is in that more senior role. They may not be that much more chronologically older, but they, you know, have some experience and might be making that decision to bring the interns in. Both folks are really benefiting from that relationship. And in the volunteerism, there can also be that mutual trust, that mutual growth that
Absolutely.
Happens.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit also about, you know, let's talk about some other examples out in community where maybe that value of volunteerism or intergenerational volunteerism is taking place actionably mm-hmm. as well as philosophically. And it seems both you and I think that Edge High School is a great example.
Well, I'm a little partial to our Edge High School here in Tucson, Arizona. There's two campuses, and Compass Affordable Housing has a great partnership with Edge High School.
Super.
With our intergenerational volunteers.
You know, I'm glad that you said that. We're going to wrap this up and continue the conversation right after this quick break. You're listening to The Morning Voice.
More of The Morning Voice coming right up right after the news at 8 o'clock. Stay tuned.
Good morning, all. You're listening to The Morning Voice and the Monday show called Morning Rainmakers. I'm Lydia Aranda, and I have co-host and dear friend and community leader Carolyn Gorst with me this morning. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning, Lydia. Thanks again.
We are excited to be here this morning talking on President's Day about the impact to community, the positive impact, the positive value, and the overall excitement that comes from volunteering and folks who engage in volunteerism. We've been talking in the first part of the show, the first segment, a little bit about volunteer vacations, examples and impact that volunteering has had with the kind of servant leadership or governing volunteerism that we do on boards and councils and advisory groups, not only Carolyn and myself, but so many others in community. And now we've actually been discussing a little bit more about some specific examples of organizations, companies, or schools that are building upon intergenerational volunteerism and having good impact, Edge High School being one of those. Carolyn, you were telling us a little bit about that before the break. Tell us some more.
Absolutely. So with our high school students at Edge High School, Compass Affordable Housing is putting together a opportunity for the high school students to teach individuals how to use electronic devices and computer skills.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's really an interesting dynamic to see our young people being able to be mentor teachers mm-hmm. roles with older adults and working age adults who may not have had that skill set given to them because life has happened.
Sure.
So they're able to start utilizing electronic devices and computer skills, learning from someone who it comes very naturally to.
Mm-hmm.
And that role reversal creates a very interesting learning dynamic. I mentioned earlier in the show that it's not so much the traditional teaching dynamic, but it's more of a mentorship and shared learning and the experiences that are shared and the opportunity for our students at Edge to develop their interpersonal communication skills, to develop soft skills, and for our adult learners to have someone they feel very safe asking questions of. And they don't have that fear of being judged or that
right.
fear of being, this is a stupid question.
Well, and I think that always happens with learners, right? We love it when our speakers, our teachers, or whoever's leading a presentation or summit, you know, it's always comforting when they say, please know there are no stupid questions in this group. Please raise your hand. Please stop me and ask. I'm wanting to have that clarification, that clear understanding, the communication that, again, you know, the age-old adage about communication, it's not what the sender sends out, it's whether or not the receiver gets it. And a lot of times we just don't get it, and we need to hear it differently or see it on the board differently or touch it or feel it or act, and then our learning is complete. And that vulnerability, yes, that can happen, especially from an adult or someone in that seniority role, mm-hmm, you know, might be a boss, or it might be a neighbor, or it might be somebody in charge, so to speak. I'm doing air quotes. And when a younger person, or maybe someone just less experienced, is able to teach, you know, that reverse teaching, reverse mentoring, lots of different phrases go on with that. It is a vulnerability to be able to say, I need help, or please, I didn't get it, even though that's the fourth time you've told me and I've written it down. And things are confusing, especially electronics, you know, especially even remote controls of TVs. I mean, forget it. I don't know anyone who doesn't have at least two remote control devices, because one is where you have to click to get the device on and click to the internet and make sure that you're on cable or make sure that you're not on cable and watching network TV. And then, heaven forbid, Fire Sticks and streaming, and does it talk to your Alexa, you know, without setting it off into some other dictate. And if you happen to walk by with your mobile phone, or you're going into your car and that's connected, you know, pretty soon there's just chaos and confusion of things everywhere. So it can be overwhelming for even the most learned. So any time that we can have that kind of help is great. And I love that in the high schools, folks are getting used to that role, that we, yes, all have something to share and teach someone else. So through volunteerism and connecting the players, if you will, then that learning can continue. At least that's how I look at it.
Absolutely. And the opportunity to give our young people that's build their self-confidence early on, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. It's a skill that's going to serve them wherever they go. And the value add of the intergenerational exchange, that they are working with someone that's had life experiences that they haven't had yet.
Right.
So you will see this older adult imparting lived experiences to a young person that they didn't know existed.
Right. Absolutely. I think we see so much happening when people can just share. And myself as a student of social impact and ethical leadership, and the way that these different kind of things come together, there is a process that takes place when we are learning, but also I dare say when we are helping to create a learning or a collaborative environment. And it all starts with mindfulness. And from that, it goes to dialogue. And after that, it goes to collaboration. And then you get to the change part. Instilling a change, affecting a change, and then you start the cycle all over again of how to grow more change or have a wider ring of change. And I'm always reminded of that when I think of these kind of things, when organizations may say, you know, we need volunteers, we just don't know where to get the volunteers, or we need more. It's sort of like, we also need funding. You know, where are we going to get more resources? And volunteers are valuable, valuable resources, far much more than just the task at hand.
Absolutely.
Amplifies messaging, helps bring new ideas into a mission or a strategy, spreads the word, brings its own aha moments. And with that, you know, this morning voice is actually a place where people can share their ideas and experiences too, and ask some questions. We are, in fact, a call-in show, And 1030 The Voice, the trusted local news and talk, has been famous for its calling. And I want to say now, if there's anybody out in listening who wants to share some ideas about their favorite volunteer experience or something they learned while volunteering, or I dare say if they're looking for volunteers for some organization, please call in and let us know. The number is 520-790-2040. That is the voice call-in number while Carolyn Gorse and I are sitting here talking on the Morning Rainmakers. We're getting a little bit close to a break, but not quite yet, so we do have a few moments, again, if anyone does want to call in. But Carolyn, while we're waiting for folks to share their experiences or let us know where we might volunteer, let's talk a little bit more also about some great things that are happening, particularly with women leading change, women influencers. And there is one group, so many groups, but the first one that I will call out, maybe ask you to talk a little bit about, is 100 Women Who Give and 100 Women Who Care. I think I use that name interchangeably. Tell us a little bit more. I know you've been a longtime member.
What a wonderful organization. And it's built on the idea that a drop in the ocean makes a ripple, but together we can fill an ocean. And that we come together as, and right now we have, I believe, over 500 members. Mm. And together we can influence and lift up our organizations, our local nonprofit organizations, so that they can better serve their missions.
That is a need that never goes completely filled, but can grow and be satisfied in different waves and different areas, in different initiatives. And what a great segue to be continuing to talk about people who make a difference, rainmakers, volunteers, and donors. And I think I see Matt signaling to me now. We're about to take another break.
We've got a call from Bunker. If you want to, do you want to take a break first, or do you want to take the call first?
Let's take the call first.
All right, here we go.
Good morning,
Bunker. Bunker, you're on.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You've asked for volunteers. I'm volunteering. I do a lot of it. But I have one particular spot that I've worked with for going on, I guess, over 15 years, and that's the Empire Ranch Foundation down by Sonoyta, down in our southeastern corner of Pima County that is sometimes forgotten. But I started out, went down for a weekend, one of their roundups, which was a fundraiser in the end of November, and loved what I saw. Got involved, got on their board, served on the board for about 5 years, stayed on as a volunteer. And over a period of time, while I was on the board, I talked them into starting a ranch library. Oh. And that has been one of my passions. And I'm the self-proclaimed library foreman. And it's just, it's something that it's a dream of mine. And it's part of the foundation. But more important is that to get out awareness of the Empire Ranch. It's part of the BLM down there, the La Cienega Grasslands, and it's a beautiful spot. We have several events every year. In early November, we have our Cowboy Festival, which is a two-day event with vendors and exhibitions and just all kinds of stuff. Coming up in the 1st of April, we have our yearly trail ride, which really is a wonderful experience for a lot of people that want to get out, see beautiful country on horseback. Generally, we'll have some vendors there, some kind of food setup thing, and it's just great. We do the National Day of the Cowboy to celebrate our cowboy heritage in July. And we also do a cowboy Christmas there every year. We're very family oriented. The ranch house is a 22-room building with outbuildings around there, and it is open 24/7. So anybody that would want to go down there can go anytime they want. Although at nighttime, they would have to have their own light. But it's a we trust you thing. You come down and you look around. twice a month, they have docent tours of the ranch, which goes around and explains the history, the what you're looking at, and also what the goals and aspirations of the foundation are. And I've been talking too much, ladies.
Hey, it's your turn. Bunker, I mean, I think I know the answer to this, but maybe you could share with the listeners and our hosts, what's the why for you? Why did you get involved? What's the importance of the Empire Ranch to you, and why did that spur you to get involved?
Well, as you know, Matt, I'm a retired motion picture stuntman. I made my living off horseback for 30 years, and I love the West. I love our history, our traditions, the heritage. That's what we try to do with the podcast. I don't consider that a volunteer thing. I consider that a life joy. But there's so much values in these old heritage values that are missing today, and it's so sad because we're losing generation after generation of young people to technology, and they need to slow down, take a deep breath, and get back in touch with the land and what it offers and what it gives and the healing properties of the land.
Bunker, that is just, wow. I am so pleased that you phoned in this morning, and thank you for sharing that. First of all, your why is admirable and very powerful. And all that you shared just in that brief time about the Empire Ranch is just fantastic. I think there is so much to be learned from those kind of interactions, not only from all the activities, but I'm really impressed that you took on the additional task of making sure that there's a library. I think that brings so much more to folks when they can also read and see and understand other stories. I'm hearing a little bit of music here, so we're going to have to go to commercial, Bunker. I really appreciate you calling in. If you stay on through the commercial, then we'll talk a little bit more after the break. Good morning. We are here with the Morning Voice and on Monday morning show called Morning Rainmakers. We were just listening to a little bit of Willie Nelson there, and we've got caller Bunker on the line who joined us a few minutes ago. Bunker, oh my goodness, we are talking this morning about volunteerism, and you just dropped so much exciting information onto us in your own background of being a stuntman in your career, which one day we'll have to talk a little bit about that. But in your retired years, you've been so involved with Empire Ranch and trying to bridge that intergenerational connection of learning and experience. And I love that you have proclaimed yourself the library foreman. Tell us a little bit about how you started the library at Empire Ranch.
Well, it's so funny. When I think I was down there my first year volunteering before I was on the board, and once a month, the first Saturday, we have a core of people that come down and they do cleaning and repair and everything like that. And it's very interesting in itself in that when we're repairing something, like say we have to repair a fence, we don't just go out and down to the lumber yard and buy a new piece of wood. We scrounge around from some of the other project that the BLM does or the Forest Service, and we find distressed wood from an old building that's been torn down or something like that, and that's what we use. So we try to keep the authenticity and purity of the site as best we can. And so, you know, it's the same thing. But anyhow, we were down there one day at one of the volunteer days, and there was a lady who had come in and was working in the gift shop. And she was looking, and she looked up on there was our big work storage room. It's a regular room, but it's dedicated just to the repair and stuff. She saw a bunch of books, and she says, "Oh, that's interesting." You know, she says, "You know," she says, "I'm a retired school teacher and librarian, and it looks like you have the start of a library here." And I don't know why, but you know, you never know where a seed will take root. And I thought about it and thought about it, and by the time I was on the board, it was something that I really wanted to see happen. It took a good long time to finally get it across that that's something we needed. I have total support from our president, Faith Boyce, who has been doing a wonderful job down there. You talk about volunteering, the leadership volunteering down there. It takes so much more time than just coming down one day a month or a couple of days during an event. And I salute these people. They're all people that I admire and I enjoy being around. Their energy, the love that they have for the ranch and the land is just, it's palpable. You can feel it. And you go home after a morning down there just feeling great.
Well, it just sure sounds like it's great, and it sounds like you're in a wonderful atmosphere that allows you to bring the earth and the land and the animals together with a community, a history, as well as forging a path of where we're headed in the industry, where we're headed in the region, and that's just wonderful. Bunker, I really appreciate you calling in. Carolyn and I have learned a lot about what you've shared, and we know now that Empire Ranch is always seeking more volunteers, so thank you for that plug, and we hope to see you at maybe a trail ride or the National Day of the Cowboy or some of your November events. So thanks for being a listener on The Morning Voice.
Okay, well, come down and see us and bring your friends and the kids especially.
Sure will. Thank you, Bunker. You have a great President's Day.
You too. Bye-bye.
We're here on The Morning Voice. I'm Lydia Aranda, and we're talking this morning in our Morning Rainmakers Monday show with Carolyn Gorst. Carolyn, thanks again for being here. Carolyn is with Compass Affordable Housing, wears many hats in the different boards and activities that she serves, leads, and impacts. And let's talk a little bit more about volunteering at Compass Affordable Housing. What you got going on lately that maybe folks might want to learn how they can get involved?
Oh, that is fantastic. With Compass Affordable Housing, we have volunteer opportunities every Tuesday with our Your Healthy Home Market. Volunteers join our tenants to hand out and put together boxes of fresh food, produce, grains, and health items, as well as share recipes. And that's every Tuesday at our various sites. And you can call into our phone and find out what Tuesday, where we're going to be each Tuesday.
Wonderful.
The volunteerism is no experience is necessary, and it's from 9:30 to 11.
Wonderful.
So that makes it very easy for all ages to come together. It's a great opportunity also for families to work together. The volunteerism can be done just by showing up. You don't need any special equipment, just your hands and a heart.
Wonderful. And what number would they call if they're looking to schedule or looking to find out your schedule or maybe your website as well?
Absolutely. They can either go on our website at www.compassaffordablehousing.org or they can call 520-403-0799 and we will give them take down their information and help them find the right volunteer opportunity with Compass.
That's wonderful. And folks out there who are listening, I really encourage you to do this. Compass Affordable Housing is a great organization filled with wonderful, wonderful staff. They have a fantastic board who, if you'd like to get to know your board of directors and how they are interacting from their daily lives and the organizations they lead and connecting them back into the mission of Compass Affordable Housing, that's also a great thing to do. I dare say some of those board members have organizations to give out too. And we are here. You're listening to us on The Morning Voice at 10:30, The Voice. We are about to take another quick break as we are chatting about volunteerism here on a President's Day morning.
And again, if you'd like to call in and tell any story about your own volunteer activities, 520-790-2040, 790-2040.
And we're back with The Morning Voice. This is Lydia Aranda with Monday Morning's Rainmaker Show. And with me in the studio this morning is Carolyn Gorst from Compass Affordable Housing. Hi, Carolyn. We are still going this morning talking about volunteerism.
We are, Lydia.
This has been such a fantastic morning. It is a little bit on a holiday feel slightly with President's Day, but also because any of you who are here in Tucson and have been around at least a year, and even from far away, you might be familiar with Rodeo Week. We've got Rodeo Week going on in Tucson. And this morning, we've been talking about volunteerism. And we had a caller, Mr. Bunker, who himself is a cowboy, who himself is a retired stuntman, and who volunteers and serves on the board of Empire Ranch, and was sharing such great stories about how that organization has built up, much to the credit of Bunker and his peers and other board members. And we're talking about volunteerism and the impact that has in a positive way on building community, helping individuals thrive, making it rain. Volunteers indeed are the rainmakers who help lift up nonprofits, small businesses, classrooms, so important in the schools, and so many other efforts, and often are the unsung heroes of why we are where we are and how we're doing well and how we're going to get where we're going. So this morning, talking about volunteers on The Morning Voice, we have our phone line still open for a little bit longer. The number is 520-790-2040 here at 1030 The Voice. And if you have an idea about something fun you've done as a volunteer, or if your organization is looking for volunteers, please let us know. We'd love to be able to share that. In the meanwhile, Carolyn and I are going to keep on talking about volunteerism. And Carolyn, you've been sharing with us some of the ways that families, individuals, students, or other professionals can get involved with Compass Affordable Housing. I wonder if I might ask you, what is one of your favorite volunteer experiences that you recall, whether it be at Compass before you joined there, or one of the other many organizations that I know you've supported? Might have even been a school or a church.
Absolutely. One of my earliest favorite volunteer memories was being able to go and volunteer to help when I was in high school, to work with younger kids in preschool age kids. Okay. And that's where it really sparked in me the interest. It was doing an arts and crafts project
Fun.
With really little kids, but it sparked a real interest in me and helped me define my career path. It made me realize how much I enjoyed teaching, how mm-hmm. much I enjoyed art, how much I enjoyed seeing that spark in someone's eye when they do something they're so proud of. And I think, isn't that the gift that volunteerism gives you, is when you're volunteering your time and the end product produces something greater than yourself.
Absolutely. I think that's the whole gist. And we give of ourselves so that it'll keep going and others will pick that up and pay it forward, as the phrase goes. That's a great example. I wonder, was there a lot of paste eating or all those funny things that can happen?
We were actually...
Markers on the face.
Yeah, it was actually finger painting. So there was a lot of paint going in places other than fingers. It was quite the experience. It did teach me that I did not want to teach children younger than the age of 12. So it did help also define that.
Oh, wonderful. But I think it's so much, we get such a good basis, I think, often in our homes as well, especially if we have siblings or if we have cousins or we're close to our neighbors, and there gets to be that group of kids that are called into action for chores, or you must help out at events. And that's really a basis of learning that part of what we do in our society is give of ourselves, and there is a value to that. It helps build up not only our own experience, so it is a little bit self-serving in that way. Earlier we were talking about the encouragement for students of all ages, but particularly in their high school and college years, to dip their toe in, if you will, to the pool by volunteering and getting to know other organizations and other people, maybe getting to have a first row seat at the impact that another company or nonprofit or public agency does, and maybe taking a different perspective through volunteering about what is needed in the community in which they live that they may not have known about. I'm sure there are very straightforward things that we all think about, of actions of helping out at a community event or a church event or at a school event where we might think of things as greeters, we might think of staffing a table, we might think of setup and breakdown. But there are many other ways to volunteer. And there are a lot of organizations here in Southern Arizona who need help. They need people to maybe fill those gaps of certain time frames. They may, to literally just staff. They might need folks who can help with language services. Lots and lots of people need a lot of different languages, and that includes things like sign language. That includes a lot of opportunities to help type or write for someone who maybe has a disability or just isn't comfortable typing or maybe never took a typing class but needs to type up a resume or maybe needs to submit an application online and doesn't know how to do that. I mean, there's so many things. Drivers, of course. And I love what Bunker was talking about, you know, some of the things that happen with the horses and the ranch and the cleanup. And there are lots and lots of organizations that need that help. I don't know why this just came to my mind, but funny little things that happen in special events, setting up or providing baked goods. And one, there's a wonderful nonprofit here in town that focuses on cakes for nonprofits and providing desserts. I'm not saying the name right. I think it's Cakes for Causes.
Cakes for Causes, yes.
And giving a little plug to Cakes for Causes, anybody who knows that group. They started off, I believe, as volunteers. Who were wanting, yes, and built up not just being a volunteer group, but actually creating an organization around it where their volunteer baking and sharing efforts now go to help other organizations who may not have the funding to buy a lot of baked goods but need to host events. I think I'm saying that mission correctly.
Yeah, it actually is a wonderful organization where our baking dessert community industry gives back to nonprofits, and the nonprofits are able to go onto their website, request help, and for the cost of the ingredients only. So that's a huge help when you're hosting an event and the cost of the events, and you want a very specialized, unique dessert created by one of our local bakeries. At the other opportunities that you were mentioning with volunteerism. So many people think I'm too young, too old, I don't know enough to volunteer, but the truth is there are so many ways that people can help. And we have so many wonderful nonprofits and for impact organizations here in Southern Arizona and right here in Tucson and Pima County. And there's great places you can go to find a vast number of volunteer opportunities, such as a volunteer match and put in your zip code, or just serve. Again, put in your local zip code. Find out what's there. The public library has listings of volunteer opportunities, reading to children. As you mentioned, Lydia, the schools.
Yes.
Of course, our very own United Way of Tucson in Southern Arizona looks for volunteers and has their fall volunteer days of volunteerism every October. So
that's right.
There's so many opportunities right here in our backyard.
You know, there are other places too that help bringing generations. Now, this is a very specified volunteer opportunity and folks need to get cleared and certified, but I believe it's not that cumbersome of a process. And that is hospitals in our communities across our state, I dare say across the whole country. Hospitals are always looking for volunteers to get cleared who can come in and hold the babies. You know, the newborns, the preemies, or those with certain conditions who, for one reason or another, can't always be held, certainly by their parents if the mother is ill, or if there are certain conditions, or it's overnight. You know, there are all these things that happen, and we know it's so important for babies to be held, and so that's always been a volunteer category that has struck me well. And also others who have special talents like sewing and knitting often get together in groups. My own mother has long been a volunteer in those kind of groups. One was called the So-and-Sos out in Sun Lakes, and there are others where they specialize in sewing or knitting clothing or special blankets for newborns or other kinds of gifts of that way, donation clothing for young girls or young boys, lots of different things where people can put their talent and experience to my Matt.
There's even the Flying Samaritans that go down to Mexico, fly down to various places in Mexico and do teeth cleanings.
Teeth cleaning and other kinds of surgeries.
I know several people that have volunteered in various roles with that.
And of course, we depend on the pilots
sure.
who are willing to do that. And then, of course, those with the specialty and with the skill and expertise to provide the services.
And another way you can volunteer to help other people that you will never even meet probably is by donating blood.
Yes.
And that costs you nothing but your time. Yeah. And you can go do that once every 2 months.
That's right.
And that can help a cancer patient or somebody who was in an accident, or you just never know, somebody needs a transfusion. So that's another way you can volunteer. It doesn't cost you anything. We all have blood and most of us are able to donate.
Yes.
And so that's another way.
That sure is. And they give you a yummy juice afterwards,
too. That's right. And Nutter Butters, you betcha.
Nutter Butters. You got to love the Nutter Butters. I think we are here for one more quick break. So we're talking volunteerism on Rainmakers of the Morning Voice. Hello. And we are wrapping up a couple of hours here on the Morning Voice on a President's Day here on a Monday morning with our new Monday show, Morning Rainmakers. I'm Lydia Aranda, and I've been joined this morning here in studio with Carolyn Gorse. Carolyn, it's been such a pleasure to have you here with us this morning.
Well, thank you again for having me.
We have been talking about volunteerism and have come up with many examples. We've been sharing lots of information about great examples of organizations and what they've done with creative volunteering. We've talked about volunteer vacations. If people are interested in putting a little bit different spin to their getaway, we have heard from callers about some of their favorite organizations and things they do and things they have created, systems they've built up or initiatives they've strengthened by their own volunteering. And we've certainly talked about the relationship between seniors and youth and business people and students and the impact to our community, especially right here in Southern Arizona and the old Pueblo of Tucson. Another great example that we haven't quite yet touched on, but you will hear in future shows, an organization whose sole purpose is to create more servant leadership, and they do that through volunteering of young people coming out of Arizona who go and volunteer in Agua Prieta, Sonora, Mexico, and that is Rancho Feliz. Rancho Feliz is 20 years, slightly older than 20 years, and is doing great things with youth empowerment, scholarship. It is not, it says it's not a charity. It is a nonprofit that focuses on servant leadership and giving. RanchoFeliz.com. In future, we'll be hearing from their new CEO, Donna Valdez. And Carolyn, let's talk one more time about how folks can get involved with Compass Affordable Housing and other orgs that help support families and individuals who are maybe on limited income, but have great things going on in housing solutions. Tell us about Compass.
So with Compass Affordable Housing, our volunteer piece is essential for the critical support services that people are getting after they are stabilizing after homelessness or living on low and fixed incomes. And one of our big volunteer opportunities is our weekly Your Healthy Home Market. So people can come in and help us with our fresh food market, work side by side with our tenants, our residents, helping them not only pick up fresh foods, but also learn recipes about how to use those fresh foods. Like we talked about bok choy.
Bok choy.
Bok choy. And you can always learn more about our volunteer opportunities by going onto our website at www.compassaffordablehousing.org.
Thank you, Carolyn. You are always such a great voice, not only for the organizations of which you work and to whom you serve on advisory councils and other boards, but really a great voice of community. And that's what this morning show, Rainmakers, is all about, bringing voice particularly from women and to women, but really about initiatives that are important to Southern Arizona and the role Southern Arizona plays back out into our state and our country and our world. So many great things happening here in community. And the Morning Voice Show is all about that. You will hear from various hosts throughout the week. Again, I'm Lydia Aranda, and this has been Morning Rainmakers. We are here 7 to 9 Mondays. On Tuesdays, you'll hear from General Ted Maxwell. Wednesdays from Grant Kruger. Thursdays, Tom Moulton. And wrapping it up Fridays with Dr. Ed Ackerley. This has been the Morning Voice Show, and it's been our pleasure to be with you this morning on President's Day 2025. Straight out from KVOI, 1030 The Voice, the trusted local news and talk. Again, the Morning Voice Show, Monday mornings with Rainmakers. Wishing everybody a fabulous week. Enjoy the rest of the holiday. Have a great time at Rodeo Week. Carolyn, it's been a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's just been a joy.
And we've got our great producer, Matt Neely, and others. Coming up next is the WIN show, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks, and have a great week. This has been The Morning Voice.